What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And we are back for another dope episode. So yeah, last week was dope. We didn't get to do our recommendations like we normally do because we had some guests on, but there's no guests this week, and so I got some recommendations, or rather, just an update on some things that I watched recently. Like, for instance, I got to watch Cocaine Bear. Went to the theater to see it, and it is bananas as it sounds. The only thing is, though, it's not as funny as I was hoping it would be. Mm. And for those who don't know, it's based on a real story.
Yep.
Where someone who's trafficking, you know, pounds and pounds of cocaine or whatever, decides to dump it out of a plane and parachute his way down in the middle of some area, and he dies, and a bear finds it and eats a lot of it and dies within minutes of eating it. But then they made a movie where the bear doesn't die, and he goes around murdering people because he's looking for more cocaine. It's a fun movie. I enjoyed it, but it leans more on the horror side than it does comedy, and not because it isn't trying. It's definitely trying to be funny. I'm just not, I don't know, I had to ask myself, am I just losing my sense of humor? Because I think years ago there might have been some things in there that I like laughed at, but I think mm-hmm. that I've seen so much of it over the years that, like, for instance, if you've seen Piranha, if you've seen, I don't know, Sharknado, if you've seen like just wild animal-based yeah. films, you kind of know what to expect. And there's some mm-hmm. this one's better than that, though. I will say that it's better than those type of sci-fi direct-to-TV type of films. But it's like the jokes just didn't land for me at all. There was a few yeah. that were well-timed, that were out of like left field that I thought were great, especially dealing with these two kids who found some who found drugs and were like, yeah, I do drugs all the time. And, you know, like, this is how you do it. And they're like they're trying to do cocaine, but like wrong. It's bad. Don't do drugs. But it's funny. That part was funny. But for the most part, it's, you know, you're going to watch it for the horror aspects, which it does really well. There's some positive messaging in there, but we don't really care about that. It's about a cocaine bear. Like, we don't really care. Like,
I love how they didn't even try with the title, though.
Right.
That's my favorite part.
And it's like, you can't even be upset. It's in the title. You know what you're getting into. At this point, yeah. it's like Fast and the Furious. It's yeah. about family. If you don't know that by now, you're going to get what you're going to get. So yeah, Cocaine Bear was entertaining. And I think, you know, you should go check it out if that sounds appealing. I just didn't think it was funny as it was. They did try. There are jokes.
Yeah.
They just didn't land for me. And then I also saw Ant-Man. Now, so let me preface. I'm a Marvel fan. I read mm-hmm. a lot of Marvel comic books. Mm-hmm. I watch all the movies, the TV shows, mm-hmm. all that good stuff. And I am not tired of Marvel yet.
Okay.
However, Ant-Man was pushing it. I think that what I said when I left the theater, it felt like someone made a film that was trying to be a Marvel film. And that is just wrap your head around that concept. And for me, this last phase wasn't all that bad. I get that they had to give us some closure on characters. There was the whole blip and everything. Yeah. And you can't just jump into the next villain. Like, you gotta, you know, yeah. some heroes were sunset, new heroes get introduced, all this good stuff, right? And unfortunately, though, a lot of the films felt like stopgaps or filler, where they like, mm-hmm. we're here to introduce someone and then go away, like, and that's it. And a lot of the magic that Ant-Man has with where the stakes are really, really small, mm-hmm. hence Ant-Man, mm-hmm. It didn't feel that way. This was a potentially world-ending or multiverse-ending type of thing, and it wasn't written very well. And there's a lot of things, like MODOK doesn't even need to be in this film, and he fails his comic relief. He looks horrible. It was really dark, like it was hard to see everything. The CGI is all over the place. However, Jonathan Majors as Kang, solid. He did a solid good job. He is the best part of the film. And a lot of the actors do well with what they have. Bill Murray's in the film. That was a nice surprise. He's not there for too long, but he's cool, you know, popping up or whatever, but it wasn't, it was very, very mid in the most mid way you could be for a Marvel film. And yet still better than Thor. I don't know how that happened. How? How?
Oh my God. I mean, I don't know. Really bad.
It was, so it sometimes it's hard to like take away what I know. Like if you read a good book and then you see a movie and that it ruins what was, it's kind of hard to separate that. But even if I didn't know anything about the characters, it would still fail in what it was trying to do. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't funny. Like the whole thing was in being funny. You're taking all these weighty themes. Yeah. You're cramming them in all into one film. You don't do them justice. You don't actually go through with all the themes, and the humor distracts rather than, you know, builds. Yeah. And it didn't even make me laugh.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I really was let down by that film, especially considering the villain actually had a, it's like if Magneto, we know about Magneto, mm-hmm. why he has a beef with humans, right? Mm-hmm. If you take away his, like you give him the backdrop of being, you know, the Holocaust and everything, and you put him in as a mutant, and then all of that backstory just gets washed away, and he's just a run-of-the-mill villain. It's like, that's not Magneto. That's just random Jewish dude. Like, it's not, you know what I'm saying? And that's what it felt with the villain in that. But yeah, Ant-Man, not it's, I would wait for Disney Plus. I don't think
it got 54% on Rotten Tomatoes, I think, or was it 40 something now?
I think it's around 40 something. It's the only movie that was beating it, or like in terms of being viewed rotten, was the Eternals. And I think the Eternals is better than this film. Like, I think it's you know what? I'm for the superhero stuff. I'm for all of it, really. I'm the audience for this. And it just needs to, the quality needs to go up. They need to do something. They really do. Especially coming off of Wakanda Forever. Like, come on, son. Like,
I finally saw it. Did I tell you?
Yes, you did.
It's great. I mean, and I, like I said, I agree. It's three movies in one. They needed more time. This just needed to be a trilogy. It needed to be one of those movies where you're like, hey, remember when they did Harry Potter 7.1 and then 7.5? Like,
right.
6 months apart. That's what because we needed more time.
We needed healing. We needed
healing.
Yes.
I mean,
we need to deal with grief and just cope with, it was that when I went to see that, and we spoke about it before. Yeah, it was one of the only moments in the theater for a movie that big where everyone was quiet when they were supposed to be quiet. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. it was something else. But yeah, Cocaine Bear, check that out. Wait for Ant-Man. Just wait. Just please wait for Ant-Man. Goodness, it's coming to Disney Plus. Just wait. You'll be all right.
I have a recommendation. It's really old though. It's just that I finally saw a movie that I've been wanting to see forever, and I just never did. I finally saw Phantom Thread.
Oh, nice.
Yes, finally. And I'm like, oh my goodness. It's taken me forever, but it's on Netflix. Every time I remember it would be on a streaming platform, I would try to get it because it'd be like on HBO. It's like, it's going to leave in 30 days. You need to watch
it.
And then I'd be busy. And so finally I watched it and I was like, this is a comedy. I don't care what anybody says. Like, it's not a drama. This is a comedy. And it was just golden. I'm sorry. Daniel Day-Lewis is deserving of all of his Oscars, because you cannot go from saying, stay alive, no matter what it occurs, I will find you, and then slapping Mary Lincoln in the face or whatever, and then go to this and saying, I have a lock of my mother's hair upon my breast. Like, and I cried throughout. I literally gave myself a bigger migraine than I have now. Like, laughing and screaming at the TV, because I was like, this is a comedy, right? Like, this is a comedy.
Yes.
This is a comedy. And if you guys haven't seen this movie, it's like 5 years old. So we're six. Please go see this movie. It's on Netflix. Phantom Thread. It is extremely good. I mean, Leslie Manville playing Daniel Day-Lewis's sister is just so brilliant because they are both amazing actors and so good at comedic timing. It's just, it's absolutely ridiculous. And I mean, come on.
Those are things you need for like romantic comedy when
yes.
or even like mysteries, which is why I like Glass Onion so much. You need, mm-hmm. because the main thing with that film is the romance or like yeah. them getting the girl or whatever the case may be. And then, yeah. you know, same thing with the mystery. Once you figure out who's done it, it's like, do I watch this again? I'm not really, like, I know who did it,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But then, like, the comedic aspect is like, oh, this is just great. There are great yeah. moments that,
yeah.
that can just live, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I think even if it's not intentional, it's like, yeah, it's funny. You should check that out.
Yeah.
You should definitely check that out. Goodness. So, yeah, we have some recommendations mm-hmm. and some things to avoid, if you know, at least in the theater. But we definitely wanted to give you that because we, you know, we missed the last time we recorded. Yeah. Beyond that, though, we have some topics to talk about. We missed, you know, because with, you know, breaking the fourth wall, we're no longer in February. But people just couldn't let February go without being racist. Like, just couldn't. Like, those, it was like their goal. Like, hey, we got two more days.
Seriously.
I'm going to say something real effed up. Like, I'm just going to time it. Hold up. And now. So, one of the first people we wanted to talk about was Scott Adams. If you don't know who Scott Adams is, he is the creator of Dilbert, the comic strip, the TV show, all that good stuff. And he had a video where he did a poll where he was talking about Black people were saying like it was okay if they agreed or not, if it was okay to be white. And he goes on to talk about how Black Americans are a hate group, how you guys shouldn't, you know, live around us, how we're violent, how we're A, B, C, D, and somehow didn't think that was racist. Like, you generalized an entire group of people during Black History Month.
Yeah, couldn't even wait.
And didn't think it was racist. But it doesn't actually stop there, right?
Yeah.
He, this was like something that was coming, but he was dropped by newspapers, you know, Washington Post, stuff like that. He was dropped. His comic was dropped. He has a new book or something that was coming that was dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And he was complaining about this is happening because he's white, right? The history of things has never happened, right? Like no one has ever lost something because they're white. And what's wild about that statement, though, isn't the fact that it's 1,000% false.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that he went on and tweeted that he identified as a Black person at one point,
right?
Because he wanted the benefits that we supposedly get. I'm gonna just let that breathe. Like, for real? Like,
damn.
And I thought he was playing. Like, I thought, you know how, like, people will Photoshop a Twitter exchange? Like, they have some of, like, mm-hmm. Obama talking to, you know, the vice president and being like...
Which is so amazing.
Right, like, Trump is doing this or that or whatever. And I thought someone did that. I thought someone Photoshopped his Twitter page or whatever
mm-hmm.
and was saying all these things. I'm like, I went to check it, and I was like, oh, he's serious.
Yeah, he said it. Yeah,
he did. He really... And I was like, I responded, I was like, how much privilege do you have where you can claim to be a race of a group of people that you were being racist to
yeah.
in order to combat the criticism of you being racist right. to them? Like, that is wild. Like, if you just yeah. think about that, like, I just have the ability. I'm a rich white man and mm-hmm. I have the ability to be Black when I want to.
When I want to.
For benefits. This yeah. is air quotes.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost my job because I was white. So apparently he didn't want to be Black that day.
Yeah.
Like, can you just wrap your head? Like, what? There's so much what here.
You can't.
Like,
but yeah, the privilege. And he wouldn't see that as a privilege. Dude, it's a privilege. I'm Black every day. I can't change that. I mean, I honestly... A lot of people don't know I'm Black when they hear my voice. That happens all the time. I mean,
it's a whole nother conversation.
It's a whole nother conversation.
Right.
But, I mean, but I can't. There, what benefits do I get? If this isn't Sorry to Bother You, where I'm using my white voice for sales.
Like, right. Like, okay. he's talking about, like, you know, I lost jobs because I was white. And, you know, it's along the lines of affirmative action and stuff like right. that. And you go, lost
jobs because you're white.
I want to be like, have you ever been pulled over? Have you ever been followed around a store? Have you ever been profiled? Have you ever heard, like, a racial slur and then, you know, feared for your life? Like, have you, like, any of that? Have you ever not, like, you went to go get a house. You had all this money. You could afford the house, but were rejected because of your skin color. Have there's so many examples I can go on.
Like
we're not even going to talk about hair. Like,
got
like
a job offer.
Like you know what I'm saying?
And then you go into the interview, and then after your interview, they call you and they offer you the job for $3 per hour less than what they had said.
Right.
Or $4,000 a year less than what they had originally said.
There's just so many, and this is the mild stuff. This is not even so that's wild. But then, like, to be upset and be like, you know, he lashed out on jobs. Dog, you're rich. What do we? Or you are at the very least, if you're not rich, you're well off enough to, you know, be dropped by these platforms. Like, you're well off enough, or you have the benefit enough to have your comment be syndicated all over the place. Yeah. You're well enough to be known by people. You had a TV show about your creation. And, like, I'm not counting your pockets or anything, but you're not like Joe Schmo, and you know you went in for, you know, a construction job, and they're like, nope, we only need black people, and it's like, no, that's not how this works, bro.
That work that happens, like, no.
And then apparently, like, things I didn't know because I don't follow him was that, like, apparently he had, you know, other cartoons were saying that he has a long history of all sorts of problematic stuff, like how he. You know, there was the COVID incident where he was talking about people, you know, taking the vaccine and you know, just being, you know, saying that they're the real winners, or we're the bad guys because we took the vaccine. But then also questioning the accuracy of the Holocaust, like the death toll. What? So,
what?
Like, just a lot of, like, racist, anti-Semitism, you know, sexist, like, there's a lot of.
I'm just confused. It's like, so he thinks because he said these things, oh, he lost all of his endorsements because he's white, because he said racist shit during Black History Month, the 28 days that we, and sometimes 29 every 4 years, where we, you know, kindly ask you to hold on to your racism so that we can get through the month where we try to remember some things that Black people did to build this country, you know, whatever. But the fact that you couldn't hold your racism for 28 days, and you went on a racism and did a racism publicly, and you lost your job because you're white, okay? Because what I remember is that Kanye lost his $1 billion Adidas deal for being racist, and he's Black. So make it make sense, sir. Because the math ain't mathin', and I'm about to quit class. It's giving me a headache.
Yeah, like it makes no, especially considering you apparently identified as Black one time. Like, what? So are you? Which
you
one is it?
Job, so you want to be Black?
Right.
You know, like, you want to join the unemployment club? You can wear your bonnet all day long. Come on, come chill.
Right.
Wear your bonnet.
It's wild that he doesn't even understand the fact that he didn't lose everything immediately. He said very bad things, or things that could get you fired. Like, if this was Jeopardy, things that can get you fired for 100. He said all of them. And he just recently lost his stuff, right? Like, he just recently got dropped everywhere because he said something about Black folks during Black History Month.
During
like
people are,
it's highlighted now because it's Black History Month. Like, you picked the worst time. You know, I'm pretty sure if he said this earlier in the year, later in the year, it probably wouldn't have been as much smoke, mainly because he said other things and nothing happened. And that's what happens with people who, especially white men, where if you create something that people like, they make money off of it. Mm-hmm. They'll try to schmooze, you know, hey, look, just be quiet for a little bit. Just be quiet. Yeah. And we'll work through this, and blah, 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 boom. Same, like, and that's not even, and to be fair, that does happen sometimes with Black folks, not as often. I heard Kanye's apparently getting, you know, Adidas might be trying to work something out with him or whatever the case may be.
They lost a lot of money.
Right. And I think that would be foolish, but whatever. I don't own a sneaker company, so whatever. But it's like, yeah, the fact that you didn't get fired for all the other stuff you were saying, that that there's the privilege there. Like that you don't recognize that. So yeah, he was like, we should move to a place that's, or they should move to a place that has, you know, very few Black folks. And yeah, I can only imagine his views about other things. And so I don't feel a way about him losing everything. Mm-hmm. In the sense that I do want people to be able to work and, you know, afford a living. But mm-hmm. in terms of him being celebrated or in terms of him having a prominent comic strip, nah, we good. Just put some old issues of whatever. I think one publication was like, it's just going to be blank for a little while. Like that.
Okay. And that's funny. And that's actually funny. It's like, what used to be here?
Right.
Dilbert used to be here. And it was never funny. Say that. Dilbert's not funny. It's not funny.
Just put it under construction. Like, we're renovating the space. No one was using it prior. And so we figured we could put maybe have a museum to Calvin and Hobbes, you know, or something like that. Like,
so great.
Something of worth, you dig? But yeah, so that's, we thought that was interesting, mainly because it was so baffling that it's something that children do where you do something wrong and you blame everything else in the world.
Yeah.
You know, like, but yeah, the fact that he's like, I identify as Black.
What? In what world? I mean, what in the Rachel Dolezal is going on here? And shit, and in all honesty, I'm out of her 17 passes over this dude. At least she not out here being hateful and stuff. She identifies as Black because of some things that happened. And, you know, I told you after I watched her documentary, it actually made sense. I don't agree with her, but I understand what she's saying. She feels like white people never done nothing but hurt her in her life. She had Black siblings that were much younger than her adopted siblings that she took care of. She said her parents abused them. And her parents abused them, and her brother sexually abused her and her younger sister, who was Black. And she always felt accepted by Black people. And she ended up adopting one of her youngest brother, and he's like her child. And then, of course, she has a biracial child. And like, you know, if being Black made more sense to her, I get what she's saying. I don't, like I said, I don't agree with it.
Right.
Her proximity to Blackness and seen as like everybody that she associates with in a positive manner is Black. Her adoptive father is Black. She then herself decided she wanted to take on the appearance of what she believed was a Black woman. I think she went a little too far. She put on a wig and bought darker makeup, but still, I'm going to give her 17 passes over this dude.
Yeah.
At least she makes sense.
Right. Like it's
she's Black it's, because of trauma. He's snap benefits. Dude, go home. Get out of here. And then you want to sit here and say that, what, is he going to be the same person who said Black people take all the welfare? Nigga, you white. What is happening here? What?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that sent me through the roof. I was like, he can't be serious. He can't be serious. And then Elon is over here like, you know, it was racist to drop him from everything because he said racist things. Like, I don't think that's fair that freedom of speech, you should be able to say racist things if you want to. You should, you know, it's all right because I say racist things. Well, not in public, but you know, privately I say racist things, but you know, if you say it publicly, then you should be okay. Like, no, man.
Oh, man.
Like, and I will say this. There's few instances where I want people to get fired. I think that if your role in whatever you're doing allows you the power to continue to do the negative thing that you're doing, then I think you should get fired.
Yeah.
But I am of the idea that people should be able to work, because if you can't work anywhere, you go to crime. That's essentially what happens.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't have any sympathy for rich white people who lose their job because they did something, you know, Roseanne-ish. I don't, you know what I mean? I don't really care. Like, it's, you're rich. You have all the benefits of you, and you did something wrong. Here are the consequences. It's not canceled. Like, please stop using that word. No one in the history of anything has been canceled. You haven't. There's repercussions for your actions.
Yeah.
Which people circumvent anyways. I think Roseanne has a stand-up, which is horrible. I saw some clips.
Funny.
Horrible stand-up. But she was able to do it and get paid. So she's not canceled. Come on, son. She did lose a lot, but that's like, me not wanting to be around you isn't you being canceled.
Right.
Like, a publication saying, we don't have the same view as you, we don't like what you're doing, and you're not going to bring us all down, so you have to go. That's not being canceled. Yeah. Everybody does that. It's like, what? Anyways, the next thing we wanted to talk about was an interesting story. You actually brought this one up with in terms of, you know, AAVE and whatnot. Please explain to the folks what's been going on.
Right, the compressed version. So a professor at a college that I will not name was holding, I'm assuming, what was a month long, I guess, in honor of Black History Month, conversation about linguistics. It is a linguistics class. And so the discussion, there was lots of discussion in regards to, I guess, African-American history, and AAV was a topic. And so there was some assigned readings given to the class. And in one of the articles that they read was by one of the authors is a professor at Michigan State University. And this author and others have joined a coalition where they're demanding that AAVE be taught in schools. And they have their reasons for this. They've written it out, and they have their beliefs as to why AAVE needs to be taught in schools and how mainstream American English, I didn't know that there was a title for this, but mainstream American English or white American English should not be considered like the end all be all. And they don't encourage code switching. They want people who use AAVE regularly to feel as though their language is not inferior, that kind of thing. At least that's what I gathered when I read the article. Now, a student in this class, I guess, posed the question, why is the demand? Like, why are we demanding this language? And I don't want to misquote, so maybe it's a good idea that I actually pull up the document. Oh, why do I have this? Oh, I don't know. We don't need to go there. But the question is.
And for those who don't know, AAVE is African American Vernacular English. Also, Ebonics, Black English Vernacular. So just if you didn't know what it was, and it's not. I have mixed, and we're going to get into why, but I have mixed feelings about it in general. But the question that was asked, because when Tess first sent this to me, I was like, it seems like the person is trolling or trying to have like a gotcha moment and in a way that would insult the person's intelligence, you know, when they were asking the question. And I had to read it again to make sure, like, maybe because people don't know. Sometimes people ask questions looking for, they want answers, but they don't know how to ask a question in a way that might not be offensive or whatever the case may be. So I wanted to kind of double check. But the questioning and everything that kind of went around it, spawned this interesting topic, and not interesting in like no one's ever talked about it, but interesting in the fact that this is happening now in the midst of, we've got the Scott Adams of the freaking world, right?
So one of the questions that was posed was because the discussion is called Demand for Black Linguistic Justice,
And so a student asked, given that the authors strongly and unequivocally condemn code switching, why did they choose to write their entire document within standard English, with the exception of half a dozen words or phrases or something like that? And then there was another question. What guidance did the authors have for elementary school teachers, grades 1 through 5, who are teaching children to read? Should elementary schools be teaching the dialect variously called white mainstream English, mainstream American English, or standardized English? And so these questions were then, obviously posed in the classroom, and the professor of this class went ahead and sent these questions to one of the authors of the article at Michigan State University. And so here's where it gets kind of ridiculous. So the professor at Michigan State does not respond. And then this teacher at this other university decides to send a follow-up email being like, well, you didn't respond. It's been 9 days. I'm going to tell my kids you're busy. I don't know why you didn't respond to me. Ugh, God, it just,
right.
It, and then the response came back from this professor. And again, I'm not going to really go hard into it, but this Black woman just served some, I don't F's with you. I think your questions are anti-Black. I cannot believe that you would ask me these questions. Why didn't you contact any of the 15 other people on the document? Why me? I feel like you're targeting me. And also, there was a shooting at my school a week ago. I don't have time to answer your dumbass questions. Goodbye. Don't ever contact me again. I'm blocking your email. I saw that and was like, damn.
Right?
Because I agreed. Okay. And I'm like, even getting a little bit more backstory into, what kind of went down and just getting more information on what was asked, why it was asked, the discussions, the conversations that were happening in this classroom. And again, this is college. College is a place where you are supposed to use your brain and you're supposed to learn new things. And you can come in ignorant because you lived a life for 18 years or however long, before you went to school. And it could be you experience something a certain way. So when you get there, you may have certain views. And again, I don't even want to sit here and call anybody ignorant or anything. Like if you have a view, you have it. And that is going to guide your thinking process when you are posed with, something that is different or foreign to you. I just think that we had a mistake here when the teacher decided and said, okay, you know what? You've posed the question, student. I'm telling you, student, that you could probably just contact these people and ask yourself. And then the teacher goes and does it for them and asks the questions and then gets slapped with the, and again, I don't think that it would have come down negatively if the teacher had not sent that follow-up email and said, you haven't responded to me in 9 days. I'm just going to tell my students you're busy, but is there a reason and let me reiterate my questions as if they weren't seen in the first email. It was so antagonistic. I read this document and I wanted to scream. I was calling for the head of this person because I'm like, facts. You have this many days left. It's Black History Month. Why are you acting like this? And just why? And, okay. So the fact that this professor, yes, who is white and, I don't know, 60 something years old, got her ass handed to her in the form of an email and then decided to make photocopies, staple it, and pass it out to the class. And that's what got me, too. I was like, why are you putting this in print for other people to see?
Yeah.
And I guarantee you we're not the only people talking about this because, an entire classroom received this document. And probably, the professor at Michigan State is having conversations with whoever. And one thing that I at least want to mention in this is that this is kind of an example of how things just go the wrong direction. And, as an educator, I'm sure this teacher was just trying to get an answer for her student. But I just think, hey, maybe this wasn't the question to get your ass handed to on. Maybe it could have been. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying. I just feel like she walked into an oncoming drain because.
Yeah.
There's just no reason for that response.
And honestly, like, especially considering you could just say, I don't know.
Just say,
you could just say, I don't know. It's, we have, like, I had debates in college all the time.
Yeah.
And it got to a point where, like, hey, this will be dope. How about you research, or how about you write a paper, or how about you do whatever? And, like, yeah, we could kind of look into this ourselves, as opposed, yeah, to messaging someone. Right.
Yeah.
And, but let's, okay, fine. You wanted to, you know, talk to the author or whatever, but then the manner in which you do it.
Yeah.
And not understanding first, you aren't even aware of what's going on in the world to, yeah, not know that there was a shooting at the college, yeah, that you're seeing this information to. Cause you knew that the person was a professor. Like, you knew that, you know, they had a PhD and everything, they worked there.
Yeah.
So you knew this information, but you sent, yeah, it anyways, not thinking like, hey, maybe this person didn't respond because there was a mass shooting. And granted, yeah, I know in the US those things are common, like, you know, the cold, but just, you know, to have the awareness of what's going on,
yeah,
while you're doing the things you're doing, right? But then not only that, the way you're asking, which made me think someone was trolling. I didn't even know. At first, I didn't know it came from a student. I felt like it didn't come from a student. I felt like
that's what I felt too. I felt, right, this exact same way.
I felt like that, yeah, was a shield for her to say something and to kind of be like, ha, you know, if you're going to talk this way, how come you didn't write? Like, there's a lot. There's different ways you can take this. And, you know, correspondence through emails are not the, yeah, best tone and all this other stuff. So she might have been trying her best and just failed miserably. Beyond that, though, like,
yeah, beyond that,
there's a lot of stuff here to unpack, and we're not going to do it all in this episode because there's a lot in, yeah, in terms of teaching. I'm not 100% and this is something where I haven't done a lot of research in this, but I'm not 100% sold on teaching AAVE anyways, because, mm-hmm, it's not something that is, you know, colloquialism. It's something that you, mm-hmm, just naturally, like, we were taught, I guess, the standard English.
Mm-hmm.
We still say ain't, like, that doesn't change.
Yeah.
You know, people in the South, you know, have certain words, there's slang, there's
yeah,
all these other things. When you get into how people speak,
mm-hmm,
you know, there's different things that you will find out, or different mannerisms or whatever that kind of,
yeah,
comes, bubbles to the top. So even though you've taught a basis of English or whatever that is, where you're from, your experiences, yeah, who you're around, all of that stuff channels, or, you know, changes how you talk. And there's moments where, like, maybe if you're going for an interview, you kind of err on the side of standard. And if you're just chilling with the homies, you speak how you speak, whatever, yeah, the case may be, right? And so I'm not even 100% sold on that in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But I think if we were to make the case for it, the idea that, like, someone has to write a certain way or you have to be a certain way, the whole point was, like, we don't speak this all, like,
yeah,
standard English is not spoken all the time.
Yeah.
And that should be okay.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you think that why would I have to speak in AAV? And that's where the I gotcha came from.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They're missing the point.
Yeah.
I just think it's a little redundant because we don't need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I get what the emphasis on it, and I get why someone would want to even study it in the college level, because, mm-hmm, there's a lot of prejudice that comes from just listening to how people speak, mm-hmm, you know, the idea that you sound white, all that good, yeah, stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings me to another side of the conversation in terms, mm-hmm, of what is or isn't accepted, what is or isn't Black. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily like the fact that Ebonics is this quote unquote Black
English. Yeah.
Because I don't necessarily, like, I code switch and I speak, mm-hmm, how I speak,
yeah,
for whatever reason, but just to be like, this is all, like, how do I say this? There, how we speak is how we speak.
Mm-hmm.
And people utilize that who aren't us and, mm-hmm, take what we have and everything. So there's an idea that you should have a frame of reference. Like, this is where, mm-hmm, this comes from. This is where, you know, to contextualize how someone talks.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, there's pushback when you don't speak a certain way. For, yeah, instance, for all the people who, you know, these are for the gamers out there, there was a review that went up for Spider-Man Miles Morales, mm-hmm, back in 2020 from GameSpot. And there was a line in there talking about how the teen or the character has the exaggerated swagger of a Black teen. And the person who said it to, I guess, the internet sounded white, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it came off you know, people were saying it was cringy and all this other stuff. Come to find out that the person was Black. Mm-hmm. And then there was a big, like, oh snap, like all the you know, the red flags that were going up, the you know, like, why didn't you let a Black person review it? You know, look how it sounds cringy and all this other stuff. And mm-hmm. come to find out he's Black. And so then it's like, oh, what do you think? How do you think Black people sound? Mind you, a lot of this was coming from other Black people.
Yeah.
There was a lot of white people who just should not have been in the conversation, but a lot of Black people was on that as well. And that's another thing for me, how I speak based on where I was raised. My, you know, my dad was in the military and being all over the country and then out of the country. And then how people speak who are like, you know, like my wife, whose parents are Ghanaian, you know, and so like there's a whole spectrum. We're not a monolith.
Yeah, we're not.
And so even though I know the people who study AAVE aren't necessarily saying that, it's approached that way, not just from white people, from Black people as well. And so that's why this is very interesting to me, because there's a lot when it comes to how someone talks. You know, Southern, white folks from, you know, Southern states speak differently from those of up yonder. You know what I'm saying? And
from the Yang.
But it's not, right, you know what I'm saying? But it's not treated as in, everyone is like, your IQ is lesser than if you speak a certain way. And that's not true. It's not true. You know what I'm saying? So the idea that, like, to come into defense of something and push something as being taught, I don't necessarily think that's necessary. I think what it is this idea that we don't understand. That is the problem. We act like someone is lesser than because they speak a certain way. We act like we don't understand them when we actually do. You might not say ain't, but you know what someone is saying when they say that ain't going down, or we ain't going over there. You understand. Exactly. And because you understand it, it's like, why treat this person less than, especially when those things become popular, they become how people speak in general, because, you know, we kind of the bomb, you know, whatever. But I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of aspects here, and I'm not as well versed as I would like to be on the subject to really give like a, we shouldn't do this or we should do that. I just feel a way about it in general, because people speak how they speak. And I'm not going to label you something that you are or aren't because you do or do not do whatever. The only thing I can say is that with 100%, you know, I don't want to say like, I'll just say, I know that a lot of people take how we speak out of context, the words that we use, the slang that we come up with out of context and butcher it, unfortunately. That is a thing. That is very much a thing. And that is mad annoying. Beyond that, though, you speak how you speak. I don't think we need to have a whole class about it outside of wanting to understand your neighbor. And I don't think that, I think his question was asinine. I'm sorry. It just was. It was 100% asinine.
I think it was. I think this is something that, but your camera's blurry, by the way. But I think that I agree with you, it was asinine. And I feel when it comes to certain aspects about AAVE, that there are things that need to be understood by like non-AAVE speakers, and exactly what you said, like, don't treat people poorly or differently because they speak different than you. That has nothing to do with their education level. Because there have been studies and papers written that children who are raised speaking AAVE, besides the fact that they're highly intellectual, also have different understandings of like more trappings of the English language, like more usage in their own way. There's the conversation about the habitual B, which is very known in AAVE. And like I mentioned to you before, I don't think I mentioned on the pod how there was the test done where you had a group of children. I think it was, again, I think it was split Black children, white children, whatever, but you had the children who they were looking at pictures of Cookie Monster and then a picture of, I can't remember, I think it was Elmo. I don't remember, so I don't want to butcher this and act like what I'm saying is fact and set in stone, but it was just the fact that there was Cookie Monster eating cookies, and then there was another character eating cookies. And then they asked the children the question, who is eating cookies?
And then they asked, who be eating cookies? And basically right. all the Black kids said, well, Cookie Monster be eating cookies. And let's say it was Elmo. Elmo is eating cookies. There is understanding behind that. What is that nuance? Like there is right. you have to understand what the habitual be means. And the habitual be is translatable into so many different languages that actually have that. It's a state of being and it's ongoing. So right. when people use the term this person be, and somebody else will be like, that's poor English. And it's like, well, is it though? Because has our language not adapted to the fact that, hey, people who speak this way and you're identifying it as poor English, people who speak this way are communicating something that the proper sentence is not. So our proper sentence is vague, kind of like our English language in a general sense, where,
right.
I mean, there's entire TikTok pages about how confusing the English language is and how it has no, what's the word, like constants. Right. Nothing is constant. You, instead of like, okay, bought and thought, okay. But then you can have like something that else that ends in O-U-G-H-T.
Yeah, it's a like, whole, Gallagher sketch where he's like, you know, phone. And he's like, he's spelling them out. And, they, and like each right. time he's changing the spelling based on the word. And it's like, yeah. none of this ish makes sense. Like, it right. just, you know what I mean?
So English is, itself already has all of its pitfalls. And so if a group of people have identified a way to speak more effectively to understand something, because if the children, especially the Black children, were able to identify that Elmo is not the one who eats cookies all the time. Elmo is currently eating cookies, but Cookie Monster stay eating cookies. Cookie Monster eats
facts.
Cookies. The fact that they are like, what, 5 years old, they understand that. They know that. And so using that, like just using that as a defense of, you know, intellect.
Right.
If I understand that, you know, the argument for or against whether, you know, this version of English needs to be taught in schools. It is what it is. But people need to understand that it doesn't mean that you're less smart. I fully believe that children who are raised speaking this way are being taught a more, I don't necessarily want to say effective, but more efficient way of communicating something, which is present in so many other languages. It's directly right. translatable to other languages. And we don't have that in English. The verb I am is just that in English, whereas in Spanish it's ser and estar. Estar is for something that is like happening, and then ser is something that just is in stone. Yo soy americano, I'm American, that's not changing. But I'm, you know, yo estoy americano, that would mean like I'm just American for now, but I'm planning on being Canadian later.
Right.
After I like, you know, decide to enter a throuple with Justin Trudeau and his wife. Like, come on. I'm just saying. So that's my point when it comes to that. And, you know, there's more research to be done in the stuff that we don't know, but it was definitely something interesting that we wanted to bring up. And we'll circle back at later dates. It's like, you know, what does this mean for writers, people who write, Kenny writes, you know, and how does this go into, you know, maybe what Black authors face? Let's talk about a world where AAVE is taught in schools, and what does that mean for the future, right. you know, stuff like that. So,
yeah, it's interesting because I think, and this is my stance, which can change, but like, mm-hmm. I think my stance is like the basis of what you need to survive reality in that sense. Yeah. There should be a basis for like just, I guess it's standard. I don't like to say standard, but we'll just say standard English.
Yeah.
And then knowing that I can do whatever I want with the English language, and it would actually work. I have a basic yeah. understanding and I can move from there. Yeah. And because it works with my kids, like we are teaching them standard English, mm-hmm. but then in the midst of that, we like, I just speak how I speak and I'll be like, yo, they be tripping, and like, they get it. Even though it's not grammar, whatever the case may be, they understand. Yeah,
exactly.
And that's kind of how language works. Like
it's exactly how language works.
at all points in time, that's how language, like you think about it, how language moves and how it changes and it flows. Yeah. There's always kind of a standard, but things go ebb and out, and you know, the ebb and flow of words usage, mm-hmm. even, and the meaning of words and whatnot, and how things change all the time. As long as you have the standard, you're fine. We, you know, yeah. if you having the standard English will allow you to be able to understand Shakespeare.
Yeah.
But Shakespeare don't talk like we talk today. Like they don't.
Nobody speaks in iambic pentameter.
Exactly. So, but we can still understand. It might be difficult at right. first, but we can understand what's being said. And, yeah. you know, even like you said, be, to be or not to be. And what is he saying mm-hmm. with that? And granted, he's talking about suicide, but just understand that yeah. the be in that, he means to exist yeah. and have, like, come on, fam. Like, it's okay. It's okay. Like, white people, it's okay. And the next thing we wanted to talk about was another racism, but a different type of racism, another not necessarily racism. With black folks, was with the producer, one of the producers of Final Fantasy. And there was I'm checking out Kotaku, shout out to Zach over at Kotaku, the Final Fantasy producer, Yoshi P, Yoshida, I can't pronounce his first name, I'm not going to ruin that, so I'm just going to say Yoshi P. He was interviewed for, you know, the game that's coming out, Final Fantasy 16, talking about all the stuff that he wanted to talk about, and one interviewer asked a question about, you know, RPGs versus JRPGs, and Yoshi P shared, you know, his belief or his thoughts on that term JRPG, and how the term was used negatively years ago. And, you know, quoting, he's saying, like, for us developers in Japan, the first time we heard it, it was like a discriminatory term, as though we were being made fun of for creating these games. And so for some developers, the term JRPG can be something that will maybe trigger bad feelings because of what it was said in the past.
Right.
Or what it was in the past, right? And so there's a lot of stuff that kind of goes into that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the biggest takeaway from that, and I'm going to just put a break right here. We understand that this is not comical. What's the word? This is interesting considering, you know, what he had to say about having people of color in the upcoming Final Fantasy. Mm-hmm. Two things could be true at the same time. So we're gonna take that, put it in a box, mm-hmm. and we'll come back to that at another yeah. podcast. Okay. Right now, we're dealing with this particular thing of the JRPGs. I never use it as a negative term, and I've always looked at it as like this is the styling of the RPG turn base, a protagonist that isn't created like Cloud. He isn't created. You don't have everybody doesn't have their version of Cloud. He's just Cloud. Mm-hmm. You know, things like that, that kind of was a true line through all RPGs at one point, you know, Dragon Quest, Final Fantasy, mm-hmm. all that good stuff, right? And so it was like, you know, a tag, because we put labels on everything, and that's what that was. The thing is, though, that doesn't matter, because if someone felt the way, being that it was basically Japanese RPG, if someone felt mm-hmm. like there was a negative connotation in that, and there was, outside mm-hmm. of our use as well, then we should listen. And that has been my big, you know, thing with this, is that people, as soon as they heard it, they're like, well, I've been using this all the time, and I was never, you know, yeah. I wasn't being yeah. racist or anything. And totally missing the point that none of that actually matters, how you used it out of how everybody else used it, your experience versus everybody else's experience. You're talking to a developer or hearing a developer say that not only him, but other developers as well from Japan felt the way about it. And the first thing you do is defend the term. And it's like, you know, we are really good with labeling things. We could just say RPGs. Oh. We could just say turn-based RPGs. We could just say whatever. You don't have to go into this on defense. You don't have to go into this like, I would never, you know, like it's not yeah. that deep in this sense. Not only that, but the idea that this term couldn't be racist because you were using it in a way that wasn't necessarily racist, doesn't mean that it isn't racist, because you are grouping an entire segment of gaming into Japanese only. If you don't know that that's potentially racist, we just talked about grouping people. Here's one. if I say all white people, blah, 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 you would say racist. You would. But most of the people who are complaining about this would say that is racist. I don't necessarily agree, but we're not going to get into that. But you would say it's racist. So then if you're saying all these games, basically all Japanese developers or all developers who do these type of games fit into this category, this little box, and then you put any type of connotation on that, whether it's their games are grindy and I don't like the term, but like anything negative, even anything positive could be considered racist. And so while in gaming, this might not be necessarily a thing that we fight over gamers because we're trying to label something. Cause a lot of people would be like, JRPGs are something that I like and use it as an identifier and are, you know, more or less champion the genre. At the same time, it's like the people who are making it are telling you that they feel uncomfortable. So just shut up for a minute and listen. You'll learn something. Maybe you'll learn something. And I'm not even saying not to necessarily use the term, but I'm saying that if we don't, if we can't use the term anymore, I say can't with quotations, it will be okay. It will be okay. You will you will live. You will be all right.
You'll definitely live.
You know what I'm saying? Like your systems will not stop working. Your PC won't turn off. It, you know what I mean? You won't be sent to jail. Like this idea, I saw someone got really upset and I'm guessing he was a white person. And he was like, you know, this is some woke BS. And why don't we just drop all labels and just call games games? And it's like,
okay.
Right. Like, come on, fam. Like, it's not that. It's not. You were taking it as some type of an attack on you based on a word that you don't even use that often.
Right.
Like, you come on.
You're literally, do you wake up in the morning and be like, JRPG, and then make your eggs? And then while you're making your eggs, JRPG. It's no, the answer is
right. And just regular conversation. So, that JRPG that I was playing the other day, no, you say Final Fantasy.
Right.
You know, you say Tales of Symphonia. You say, you give a title. You don't say, yeah, you know, and I was playing JRPGs that one time. Oh, I'm going to go to the store and get that new JRPG. You're not, you don't do that.
You just don't.
It sounds goofy. Like, who does that? It does. That's like saying first person shooter for Call of Duty. No, you just say Call of Duty. Right. But people are taking offense and like, oh, we can't use our words anymore. And I'm just looking at this, the English language, man. We just finished talking about AAVE. Like, we can make up some terms.
This is why AAVE needs to be taught because Black people would find a way around. We're so, so creative.
We would label some stuff real quick. We would definitely label some stuff. But yeah, it's really interesting and like how people can like galvanize towards a, you know, this something that's apparently cherished and not realize that it's very minute. It's very like a very small thing within gaming.
Yeah.
And the fact that like you can't get over it. Like it's a special form of racism where you are too like it's so imposing or it's such a, you know, a conundrum that you just can't seem to circumvent the use of a word, and it inconveniences you so that I don't care how an entire group of people feel about it, I'm gonna keep saying it because I was never racist to begin with. And it's like, no, that's you're being racist. That's what that is.
It's not, honestly, that's
not big R, little R, but it's still right.
Sorry, I just had to throw it out. That is something he would say. It really is. Like, wow, like, you are so far.
Right.
Like,
and it's not that big a deal.
Hurt you this badly.
Right. Like it shouldn't at the end of the day, it shouldn't be such a the discourse shouldn't be this crazy on Twitter.
It really shouldn't. Thing. Like, okay, you know what? Look, the developers are telling you that hey, we don't like this. It makes us feel excluded. It makes us feel targeted. It makes us feel like you're making us different. We just want to be in the genre that we're in, that we always have been part of. We don't want to be excluded because that's what you're doing.
Right.
if you're just sitting there like, oh yeah, I'm going to go and play JRPGs. You know, it's just weird. So
It's really weird. And this, there's one comment that he made that really stood out to me, and I think it should stand out to any and all Black folks, or just I think people of color in general. He said that it wasn't a compliment to a lot of developers in Japan. We understand that recently JRPG has better connotations and is being used as a positive, but we still remember the time when it was used as a negative. What does that sound like? That sounds real close to another word that, you know, we are allowed to use, but other folks aren't. Like, it sounds real close. And I'm pretty sure there's other communities, maybe the LGBTQ plus community or, you know, whatever, community, you know, Arab or Asian or whatever case. Like, I'm pretty sure there's other words that they may have taken and are now being used in a positive manner, but wasn't positive so long ago, long ago. And like, they feel a way about when other people use it, especially when they're actively using it negatively. And like, it's just like, cause I've seen some people, I've seen some, you know, Black folks, I've seen some, you know, I'm like, yo, like, you sound real funny right now being upset about not being able to use this term. Like, you, you look real, real goofy right now. And like, when I read that quote, I was like, yeah, this says it. This, this is, it's just right there. Like, come on, son. Like,
They're just, they're telling you how they feel. So it's just so easy to just be respectful instead of being hurt, instead of having your feelings hurt and whining about it. Like, that's your privilege. The fact that you've been able to do something for so long, even though it's bothered a group of people for so long. And now you're upset that, that things are changing and, you know, they don't want to take it no more. Like, come on, dudes. Come on, people. Just, you know.
It's time to grow up. Eventually you have to do it. You just do.
You just do. We say this all the time. Like, try not to be racist.
Right.
24 hours.
It's not that hard.
Yeah.
People fight for that. Like, you know? I, especially on Twitter, man. It is. It is an interesting landscape there.
I literally hate Twitter.
Interesting landscape. Also, speaking of Twitter, shout out to my followers. Apparently, Twitter is making people unfollow folks. I don't know what is happening with Twitter.
It is.
But I had to refollow a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, what did I unfollow? Why? Like, what is happening? And it's just happening. You see numbers go up and down and, you know, people unfollow for whatever reason, but I've noticed people following me back and I was like, oh, I thought you were following me a while ago. And they're like, I was, but Twitter, Twitter's been all over the place. So if I unfollowed you, my fault, unless you're being a jerk, then I probably did it on purpose. But yeah, that is our show for today. I hope you enjoyed. Shout out to the folks that stayed with us. If you dig the content, feel free to subscribe, hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new content. Also, if you're listening on iTunes or Google Podcasts, Amazon, all those good places, make sure you add us to your RSS feed, subscribe again so you're up on all the new content. We have some guests that are going to be coming through. I can't say who or when because things change. We're the last two guests that we had, a shout out to Alex and them and Mark, we were supposed to have them on previously, but something happened and et cetera, et cetera. So that's why we didn't announce it to anyone because then we just look like we're a bunch of liars. And that's not the case. However, we do have a celebrity that's supposed to be stopping by. So be on the lookout for that. Again, subscribe, tell your friends and your enemies. That's how this works. Because we're dope.
I mean, what did Catwoman say? If you don't have two haters by next week, then you're just not doing enough. So,
facts.
You know, gotta get the hate on you. But yeah, that's it, guys. Hopefully, we'll see you next week. Just remember, hashtag don't be a dick. Wear your masks. Get your boosters. I shouldn't even say that. I haven't gotten mine yet. So, anyway, but wash your hands and your faces and your butts. And yeah, be kind, everybody. See you soon. Next week. Bye.